Just like to point out, I know a few people don't feel comfortable about the altogether worship services, but the activities, word searches, etc., are not obligatory. You just come in, enjoy yourselves around the table, and if you want to do the activities, they're there for you to do, but you do not have to do them. But saying that, we will be assembling this morning's activity later in the service for those that have done it. But you don't have to do it, that you can do something else at that time. Birthdays. I know it's Barbara Jacobs this week on the 4th. Is there anybody else who has a birthday this week? No? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, may God's love go with you, happy birthday to you. I've been asked if I could remind people about the Kairos Arts event taking place on Wednesday, 16th of September at United Reformed Church at Zion from 6 to 8:30. It's where you can experience one of their hope-filled workshops, which has been designed for their upcoming South African outreach work. It's led by the team that are going, and it's a minimum donation of £20 with only 20 places available. There's Kathy's email address at kairosarts.org if you wish to book, and it includes refreshments and art materials. So if anyone would like to go along and be well watered like a spring whose waters never fail, from Isaiah 58, feel free to contact Kathy. Don't think there were any other notices that I had. So our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Father, we thank you that we can come to you no matter what we have in our lives. And we ask you to be with us this morning as we come, possibly burdened, possibly rejoicing. But you know where we are, Lord. And we ask that you would be with us through this service this morning and give us your word and your peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So our theme for Altogether Worship this year has been Kings and Queens of the Bible. Today we're looking at King Nebuchadnezzar and trials of life. We'll be looking at Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. But first of all, we'll start with our theme song, Kings and Queens Hear the Story.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be sharing with Ali this altogether worship service today as we continue our theme, the kings and queens of the Bible, the good, the bad, and maybe the ugly. And I'm sure over this year you've come across some of all those three. And today, as Ali said, King Nebuchadnezzar, yes, easy to find on the word search, yeah, double Z. Double Z. Have you all found his name yet? 14 letters in his name. not easy to say, not easy to spell. Anyone try spelling it off the top of your head? It's not easy. And he was a tricky king as well. He wasn't one of the kings of Israel. He was the king of Babylonia at that time, where the people of God, through their disobedience, had been allowed to be led astray and taken captive into Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler. And he was an imperfect king. He was a vain man. He was an egotist. And he needed to be brought down a peg or two and learn that God alone was the true and living God, the King of Kings, as we've sung. So the Bible story today is found in the book of Daniel. And we haven't got time in our session together to look at the whole story of Nebuchadnezzar's life, but it is worth looking if you have time, either later today or later this week, to read about his entire life, highs and lows, rebellion and acceptance and praise of God in the end. So the part of the Bible story we're going to hear is from Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to watch a video telling the story of three brave men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Although I went to a Christian conference once and someone referred to them as my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. So, so that's sort of stuck with me. But we'll stick with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So let's enjoy watching the video of the story.
God's story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So part of God's story is about three guys and a raging fire, and it goes like this. God's special family, the Israelites, were sent to live in a place called Babylon. It wasn't their real home, and they were ruled by a king who didn't follow God. His name was King Nebuchadnezzar, and he decided to choose the smartest, strongest, most handsome Jewish men to leave their home and come work for him in his palace. Three of the guys he chose were named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Actually, they had different names before that, but the king forced them to change their names. They went through a 3-year training program where they learned the official language and fancy laws of the kingdom. Can you imagine if you had to move to a strange new place and be forced to change your name? That would be pretty hard. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kept following God no matter what. They just had to figure out how to obey God and serve the king. One day, King Nebuchadnezzar decided to build a giant gold statue of himself. It was 90 feet tall. That's like 3 school buses stacked on top of each other. And every time the people heard trumpets, they had to stop what they were doing, bow down, and worship the statue. Anybody who didn't worship it would be thrown into a fiery furnace. Back then, that was like a room full of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that their God was the only real God, and they should never worship anyone but him. So when everyone else was bowing to the statue, they didn't. The king was furious when he heard about this, but he decided to give them a second chance. He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought before him so they could change their minds. But instead, they told the king, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will deliver us from your hand. But even if he doesn't, we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded his men to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the blazing fire. So they did. The furnace was so hot that even some of the king's own men were killed just by getting too close to the fire. Well, pretty soon, the king looked into the furnace and noticed there weren't just three men in the furnace. There was someone else in there with them. And they were all walking around. We don't know who that fourth person was. Some people think it was Jesus. Some people think it was an angel. Whoever it was, God was protecting them from the fire. And when the king ordered them to walk out of the furnace, they weren't burned at all. They didn't even smell like smoke. The king was amazed. He said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." The king had never seen a god who would rescue his people like that. After this, the king actually encouraged people to worship God. He even told the people in Babylon they could never say anything against God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted in God and were willing to give up their lives rather than worship anyone except God. Whenever they had to choose between obeying God or something else, they chose God every time. No matter what they went through, God was always with them. And that's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego followed God. They worked for the king. They refused to worship the king. The king sent them to a furnace. God rescued them. The king was amazed. They followed God no matter what. And that's a part of God's story.
Seen the story about the fiery furnace. Those who have coloured your fiery furnace can make it. So if you cut out your fire and fold it along the bottom line, and then roughly cut out round your people, but not right down to the bottom, so that you can fold the bottom piece and stick it onto the bottom of the fiery furnace, and then tear some lovely tissue paper and make your flames. If you don't want to do that, you've got some hearts with the Bible verse, "God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble," which you can stick the Bible verse onto the heart and use it as a bookmark or stick it on your fridge or whatever you wish to do. You can also stick the Bible verse on your fiery furnace, or just talk about fiery furnace situations you've been through, some trials that maybe you've been through, and share those if you're happy to do that. So we'll give you 2-3 minutes to do that, and then if it's not done, you can carry on doing it during the next song.
He, King Nebuchadnezzar, was a man who showed arrogance and self-importance, a hunger for power and control. And sadly, isn't that still true in our world today? There are world leaders who still fall into that trap. So Nebuchadnezzar was humbled by God through the faithful witness of those three men. God alone is king and worthy of our worship. And that challenges us, not just about kings and queens, but what we worship, what is most precious, where our treasure lies. So God alone is king and worthy of worship. And at his feet, kings and rulers of this world will one day bow down in humility and in accountability for their actions. Secondly, this amazing story and miracle challenges us to ask of ourselves, how would I have responded? Would I have shown the same courage and boldness as those three men? Would my loyalty to God be absolute and unwavering when I was called to make the good confession of faith. So we're inspired by their example, and the example of many today. It's not likely that we will be asked to put our lives on the line as they were, but there are many Christian sisters and brothers around the world today who, even at this time, will be at risk of imprisonment or punishment, suffering, or even death as they stand up for their complete loyalty and devotion to God. So we're inspired by them, and we'll be praying for them later. So we ask, Lord, today, give me such faith and devotion and loyalty to you whenever it's called upon. And even at those times when it's not our life on the line, but just those opportunities to speak up for God and for Jesus wherever we are. And thirdly and finally, this story has some wonderful good news, gospel news, about God's protection and deliverance. In the story, King Nebuchadnezzar declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the flaming furnace?" And they answered and said to the king, "That's true." And the king replied, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." And we've got a picture, I think, of one artist depicting the four in the flames. It's quite faded, but just a circle. Yeah, just a circle of a glowing light and the fourth shining brighter. The fourth is in the flames. Human and also divine. Is this the Son of God? Is it the Lord? The powerful, shielding presence of God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and preserved their lives. It was a miracle of God. And even King Nebuchadnezzar fell to his knees in worship and realized this was something of the living God. This fiery furnace can be compared to life's dangers and difficulties. And I'm sure there are times in your life, in the past, or maybe something that you're facing today, where you feel the heat, you feel the pressure of an intensely difficult situation, which without God would consume or destroy you, or destroy your faith in God. But what I want to say and to highlight today, the good news, the best of all news, is that you have a companion in the fire. Jesus is your companion in the fire. And that's a wonderful promise, that this same Lord that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is always with you, is always your shield and your protection. So whatever dangers and fiery trials that you endure, you are spiritually secure. Health can fail, but we are spiritually secure. Your soul, your eternal self, shall be preserved, indestructible, refined, purified, everlasting. something within us cannot be destroyed, and that is our soul, something of God, our faith. It's everlasting. That's a wonderful affirmation for us today, whatever we're facing or will face in our lives, that no furnace, no trial is greater than the one who stands within it, our Lord. And as we'll take the Bible verse home, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is your shelter and strength, always ready to help you in times of trouble. So friends, when life turns up the heat, God turns up the hope, he turns up the strength that he gives, he turns up the peace in your heart to the max, and he turns up his grace to gas mark 9. He gives you what you need, and he brings you through to full salvation, to unbounded freedom, just like the three. So take heart today. And I close with these words of faith from the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice. Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And on that day when his glory is revealed, we shall see the radiant beauty of Jesus, our companion in the fire. Oh, praise to his name. Joe's going to lead us now in our response song, and we can again remain seated. It may be new, but the words are what we've been saying today. Our confidence is in the Lord. He is our fortress. We will never be shaken.
Now come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you all those who are facing trials, challenges, overwhelming struggles, and deep uncertainty. Grant them the strength to stand when life feels too hard, the courage to face each new obstacle, and a profound sense of your peace that surpasses all understanding. Remind them in their quietest moments that they never walk alone. You walk right beside them through every storm, and your love is a safe shelter. Provide healing, clear guidance, and renewed hope for the days ahead. This morning, we think especially of the people affected by the numerous wildfires experienced this summer. Those in Nepal affected by the flash flood and the rescuers trying to assist. The earthquakes in Venezuela. The situation in Middlesbrough, and ask that your peace and love could reign there. The big church festival for the family of the gentleman that died and those injured and all those that have been affected by the incident. We would also ask that you be with the organisers as they come to terms with this incident. And we also lift to you our church family members facing their own trials. Father, you know what they are and who they are, and we just ask you would be with them this coming week. Father, we come to you today to lift up all those who face hardship, danger, and opposition because of their faith, colour, or any other form of persecution. Lord, we ask that you wrap them in your protection. Give them physical safety, daily provision and shelter when they have nowhere to turn. When they feel weak, let your grace be their strength, filling them with a courage that goes beyond human ability, and give them the words they need at any particular time. We think especially of the Christians in Bangladesh, 33 on Open Doors watch list, and we lift them to you and pray that the forthcoming elections will bring more stability for them. Father, we also pray for those who do the persecuting. Soften their hearts, open their eyes, and reveal your truth and love to them, that they might turn from their actions and find redemption by being drawn to you. And Father, we lift up to you the leaders of the world. We lift them into your hands, where pride, ego, and the illusion of invincibility threaten to blind them. Release your spirit of humility. Remind them that true authority is not ownership, but stewardship. Strip away selfish ambition and the thirst for power, replacing it with a profound desire to serve the vulnerable, protect the weak, and seek the common good. Grant them the discernment to listen before they speak, the patience to choose collaboration over division, and the courage to admit their mistakes. Let integrity and mercy guide their policies, and let their decisions bring healing and peace to a troubled world. We pray that you would be sovereign over any elections taking place, putting in power people who pursue a safe and flourishing land for all people. And Father, we now pray for ourselves and thank you for our lives and for loving us just as we are. Today we ask for strength when we feel weak and peace when our mind is restless. Help us to see ourselves through your eyes and give us the wisdom and courage to walk the path you have set before us. Forgive our shortcomings and fill us with your grace and guide our steps. We ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And could I ask for the offering to thank you for the many gifts you bestow upon us. And these here in this bowl and those given through the bank accounts are just tokens of our thanks, and we pray that they would be used wisely to further your kingdom in your churches, in the parishes, in the island, and further afield. Amen. And before we make our circle for the messy grace, we'll sing our last hymn, The Splendor of the King. If we hold out our hands as if expecting a present. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.
Notice that in the craft there are only three in the fire, and it takes the eyes of faith to see the fourth. So have the eyes of faith this week. The Lord is with you.